This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for downloading these podcasts. I'm very interested in what appeals to you. Do email me some health topic ideas or questions you may have regarding health, nutrition, wellness. Email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. If you'd like to make an appointment with me, you don't have to come in if you're not in the New York area. I have patients and clients all over the country. We can have a phone consultation. Call Grimaldi at the office. She will set you up. 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. You know what a fan I am of yoga and all kinds of exercise, but particularly yoga. Well, here's an article that I want to discuss, a very interesting study about how yoga exercises its positive effect on depression. So yoga appears to improve mood through increased activity of an amino acid neurotransmitter known to influence mood, anxiety, and sleep. This is from a small randomized trial. The investigators found that yoga was associated with improved mood and increased levels of GABA. GABA is the acronym for gamma aminobutyric acid. So the investigators found yoga was associated with improved mood and increased GABA levels in patients with major depressive disorder. The study suggests that the associated increase in GABA levels after a yoga session are time limited, similar to that of taking a drug, such that completing one session of yoga per week may maintain elevated levels of GABA. This is from lead investigator Chris Streeter, MD, from Boston University School of Medicine. Research shows that about 40% of the depressed patients who are treated with antidepressants don't completely recover. I'm going to say that again, and I'm going to digress a minute. Research shows that about 40% of the depressed patients who are treated with antidepressants don't completely recover. There's a lot of negative outcome research by the pharmaceutical industry about antidepressants, which are not published, and they are not published on purpose because the conclusions are negative, not in their favor. If you want to read more about the real truth about the impact of psychiatric medications, especially antidepressants, go read Dr. Kelly Brogan's material at kellybroganmd.com. She is an integrative psychiatrist, a rock star, in my opinion. If you go to kellybrogan.md.com, her last name is B-R-O-G-A-N, kellybroganmd.com. And she has books out that you may be interested in. So, 40% of the depressed patients who are treated with antidepressants don't completely recover. And coming back to the study, the data is very suggestive that when these patients start practicing yoga, they improve, according to Dr. Streeter, who is one of the lead investigators. I think clinicians should consider this as a kind of whole package. Dr. Streeter is also the director of the Boston Yoga Research Center at the medical school. So she says it shouldn't be just take the pill. It should be take the pill and then do some kind of stress reduction. And yoga is certainly acceptable in terms of doing this. And by the way, this study was published online January 14 of this year in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine. January 14 online in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine. So, we know that depression is highly prevalent and a disabling condition. Data from the World Health Organization show the disorder affects about 16 million people in the United States every year and is the leading cause of disability worldwide. There is increasing evidence that yoga is associated with decreased depressive symptoms. However, the mechanism by which yoga exerts this effect are relatively unexplored. The GABA system has also been linked to depressive symptoms. So what they did, the researchers randomized patients with major depressive disorder to a yoga intervention. And that intervention was they were either given a high dose of yoga, if we may call it a dose, or a low dose of yoga. And let's define that. The high dose participants had 3 90-minute yoga sessions and 4 30-minute homework sessions per week, while the low dose yoga group got only 2 90-minute yoga sessions and 3 30-minute homework sessions per week. So the high dose yoga group had 3 90-minute yoga sessions and 4 30-minute homework sessions, right? But the low-dose yoga group got only 2 90-minute yoga sessions and 3 30-minute homework sessions. And each yoga session included about 60 minutes of Iyengar yoga, 10 minutes of relaxation, and 20 minutes of breathing exercises, what they are terming here coherent breathing exercises, which involves taking 5 breaths per minute with equal inhalation and exhalation. What that means is, say you're inhaling to a count of 8 and you're also exhaling to a count of 8. You may be inhaling to a count of 8, holding for 4, and exhaling to a count of 8. So you're taking about 5 breaths per minute. Talk about healing any kind of anxiety. That almost forces your adrenals to calm down. That's why yoga, its concentration is on the breath, all about the breath. And each homework assignment consisted of 15 minutes of posture and 15 minutes of the coherent breathing that I just described. Iyengar yoga is a relatively gentle form of the exercise that emphasizes precision and alignment. And this style of yoga, Iyengar, is spelled I-Y-E-N-G-A-R, yoga, Iyengar, I-Y-E-N-G-A-R, yoga. It's gentle and it emphasizes precision and alignment. And Iyengar yoga sometimes makes use of props like belts or blankets to minimize the risk of injury and strain. So what the researchers did is they looked at changes in thalamic GABA levels using MRI and MRS at various stages. MRS is magnetic resonance spectroscopy, okay? And the thalamic region of the brain is where what they're looking at. Study participants had their first brain scan before randomization, so before they underwent any kind of yoga intervention. And the second brain scan was after 12 weeks, and the third brain scan was immediately after a 90-minute yoga session. The time between the second and third scans was only a few hours, all right? The region of interest was the left thalamus. This area is functionally connected to brain regions associated with mood regulation. GABA levels rise and fall with progesterone levels. You know that progesterone has a chill out effect on us, right? So GABA levels rise and fall with progesterone levels. And progesterone is metabolized to allopregnanolone, which directly binds at GABA receptors and modulates the function of the GABA system. And allopregnanolone has antidepressant effects. This is how progesterone can be helpful, especially in those people who are anxious, right? So during the study, to ensure that the participants didn't undergo scans when GABA levels were naturally increasing, the researchers measured GABA in the first half of the menstrual cycle in all the female participants. Why did they do that? The first half of the menstrual cycle has very little progesterone. It's the second half that has more progesterone. And undergoing a brain scan during the second part of the menstrual cycle would be a confounder in the amount of GABA because the increasing progesterone would naturally increase the GABA. That's why they did it this way. Very, very smart. During the study, compliance was monitored with sign-in sheets at each yoga session and weekly self-reported forms assessed their compliance with homework. Now, this analysis included 28 patients. Their mean age was about 37 years old and 82% of them were women. This is a relatively small study, but remember, it's a randomized trial, so it's a good idea. Very good study methodology. The two study groups were similar in terms of demographics and health status, except that the high-dose yoga group had a significantly higher percentage of postmenopausal women, 38% versus 6%, and a trend toward lower body mass index. Okay, this is important to note. So, the baseline depressive inventory score was 24 for the high-dose yoga group and 27 for the low-dose yoga group. Comparing the relative percent change in GABA, the total cohort showed a trend for increased thalamic GABA levels. When separated into groups, The same comparison showed a statistically significant increase in GABA, which is interesting. But of the 28 subjects, 14 had an increase in thalamic GABA levels and 14 had a decrease in thalamic GABA levels. Looking at factors determining increased GABA, the authors found that the only one significantly associated with increased GABA levels was the number of days between the last yoga intervention and the second scan. So increased GABA levels were observed after about 4 days, but not after 8 days. This finding suggests that at least one yoga session a week may be necessary to maintain elevated GABA levels. Isn't this great? This is when yoga is like taking a medicine, but this medicine has no side effects the way antidepressants would. Antidepressants have the side effects of insomnia, of possible anxiety, paradoxically, the very thing it should be lessening in someone, right? So, according to Dr. Streeter, she says, we looked at this in every which way to find factors linked to increased GABA. We looked at menopause, we looked at age, we looked at any reason to explain this, and the only thing that came up was the time since the last yoga intervention. The results also indicate that the time from the last yoga class to scanning may have a greater association with increased GABA levels than assignment to the high-dose yoga group or the low-dose yoga group, right? Because if they're concluding that at least one yoga session a week, and remember, the high-dose yoga group had 3 sessions, 3 90-minute sessions. The low-dose had 2 90-minute sessions. Wow, that's pretty powerful medicine called yoga. So it's difficult to determine, according to Dr. Streeter, whether it's the breathing, the muscle posturing, or even the meditation entailed by practicing yoga that's having a positive impact on GABA. However, she notes that while it's relatively easy to see if an individual is breathing at the right rate and in the correct posture, it's much harder to tell if a person is meditating. Huh. What that means is, yeah, you could check to see that a person is in the correct posture, they're breathing, they're taking approximately 5 breaths a minute with the inhalation, the exhalation, around the same time inhaling and exhaling. But they don't know what you're thinking. You could be in the right posture and breathing the right way, but you could be thinking of other things like when to pick up your dry cleaning, what am I going to make for dinner tonight? Oh, I have to remember to do this and call back so-and-so. Yeah, you're not meditating if you're busy thinking. Because when you're meditating, it's all about quieting the mind, right? But a unique strength of the study, she says, is that pairing the yoga intervention with brain imaging provides important neurobiological insight as to the how yoga may help to alleviate depression and anxiety. The authors believe that providing evidence-based data will encourage patients with depression to try yoga to improve their health and well-being. Now, other people commenting on the study showing its strengths and weaknesses, one person says it shows an interesting association between increased thalamic GABA and time since the last yoga intervention in depressed patients. And the results suggest that yoga combined with coherent breathing may shift the thalamic GABA favorably in these people. They also note that although both groups practiced yoga, subjects were randomized to a group with different yoga intensities. Other study strengths were a longitudinal follow-up and the use of MRI scans. However, the study did have some limitations, including its small sample size. Remember, this was 28 people. And also commenting from, there were many commenters on it, on this, and they call the research very exciting, and that the study further refines our understanding of how yoga may mitigate the effects of major depressive disorder through the GABAergic network. Okay. And it clarifies the need for weekly practice to maintain the spike in GABA that succeeds yoga practice. See, this is where yoga is very, very important. Exercise in itself is very, very important. But the yoga, the postures, the coherent breathing, the meditation, all of this can help to functionally improve major depressive disorder. I find this study, even though it's small, but it is randomized, the methodology is pretty good. I find it very, very exciting. And, you know, vindicating for those who poo-poo yoga is really not beneficial or it doesn't look like much. It really can be, especially when it comes to mind-body medicine and mood. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.